Hello everybody, this is English for you and a very warm welcome to the studio. Today I have my Fasekas guest here. Kota, how are you doing? Everything's okay. Bente, how are you doing?
Hello. Well, to tell you the truth, I'm a little bit confused because it's the first time I appear on television.
Yes, this is the first time you've been here. You're gonna love it. And Szabolcs phoned me this morning and he said he wasn't feeling very well. So, Szabolcs, if you're watching us, get better. Victoria, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Victor, what's up?
I'm great.
Good. Matyi, at the back, would you give me a nice
hi, Victor, how are you?
I'm fine. I have my students here, so obviously I'm very happy.
We are happy.
And today's special guest is Mr. Mark Andrews, who's been working for the British Council for 100 years. For
12 years.
And also he's been lecturing at ELTE, Ötvös Loránd Tudományi Egyetem, teaching English, British studies.
Methodology.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you for coming.
Pleasure.
Good. I've got a special surprise for you. Mm-hmm. This is Mark's school report. And the date is 1974. How old were you then?
1974. I must have been about 17 years old, I think.
17, so. And you are 17 in the studio, so it's a fantastic coincidence. And Hungarian teachers assess their students' work, judge their work, assess their work by giving them marks from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. But in Britain, it's a little bit different. Here, again, you can see Mark's report. And are we going to see Mark's marks?
Probably.
Probably. It's not really marks, but they give written assessments. And here is the moment of truth. Mark, would you read out what your teacher wrote about you?
It's very embarrassing, very embarrassing. I find him a most frustrating pupil. He undoubtedly has a flair for the language and is full of enthusiasm. Unfortunately, he is extremely lax in the prompt presentation of work. And when his interest is lacking, downright lazy.
Now you are on the other side of the barricade. Now you are a teacher, but you used to be a student. Mm-hmm. And two words just stuck here. One is a most frustrating student and the other one is downright lazy, right? But some positive thing in it, that is, he had, or maybe he has, a flair for languages, a natural ability to do something very well, a flair for something. Victoria, I mean, you've been working, you've been studying with these guys for a couple of years.
That's right.
Can you say what they have a flair for?
All right, so Victor definitely has a flair for drawing, I think we've seen that, and for sports as well. He plays really well basketball. And then Bente, I think he has a flair for driving whatever gets into his way, like whether it's a horse, then he rides it, or a car, or he can sail as well, everything. And then Kota, she has a flair for arts, I think, because she has a notebook where she writes a lot of very interesting things and draws as well. And everyone's really interested in that, and we read that all the time.
Turn back.
Matyi is included too.
Yep.
So, Matyi, I think he has a flair for communicating, definitely. Don't you?
I think.
Okay.
Victoria,
we agree on that.
Thank you very much. It was just excellent. And I think you have a flair for languages. I'm absolutely sure that you have a fantastic flair for English. Mm-hmm. And now we are traveling to Wolverhampton, which is in the Black Country.
That's
is it right. called Black Country? Black. Midlands?
That's right.
Next to Birmingham?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so we are going to go to Wolverhampton. And you can see Wolverhampton Girls High School. Did you attend this school?
Well, no, actually. I didn't go to the girls' high school, no. But my sister did.
Oh, yes, yeah, so there's some relation. Very, very good. Yeah. And now you're going to meet a lovely girl, and her name is Roberta. Roberta, she's going to come up pretty soon. Roberta, year 7. What does that mean, Mark? Year 7. How old is she?
Year 7, so she'd be what? She'd be 13, I think.
Around 13, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can see Roberta here, and she's going to talk. And group 1, Marty, you belong to group 1.
Okay.
First, she's going to talk about a subject. What is the subject she's describing? Group 2, she's going to talk about languages. By the end of year 8, how many languages will Roberta have studied? What a beautiful future, perfect. Okay, good. So could we have the tape, please?
You know, well, we do lots of pictures. Again, it's lots of different things. We've had to do a colour wheel, showing all the primary colours and the colours go up from them. And we've done pictures. We're doing impressionism at the moment. We have to try and pick out something that's happened in our lives and paint it in an impressionist way. We have half a term of Russian, half a term of German to decide which one we want to carry on with. I decided to do Russian. And I really enjoy Russian because it's something different and it's not something you'd be able to do every day otherwise. We also do Latin. And next year we do French.
Right. Bente, what do you think the subject was?
Maybe painting.
Yeah, drawing, painting, art. Mark, what do you think it was?
Yeah, probably art.
Art, yeah. Right, mm-hmm. Sort of painting in an impressionist mm-hmm. way. Congratulations, that's correct. And what about the languages, Victor?
I could catch Latin, French, German, Russian.
Four languages.
And of course English.
And four languages, and she is just 13. Do you think it's a good system to introduce four languages? That maybe that's why British people can't really speak foreign languages.
It seems a lot to me, but
yeah. It's overwhelming. I mean, just think about four languages. Mm-hmm. So perhaps it's not the best system
that's
in the world. Okay, sorry to say that. Right. By the way, how many languages have you studied?
I studied French and German at school. There was a little bit of Italian, but I wasn't very good at that. And then at university, I did Serbo-Croat. And then I studied Czech. And I picked up bits of Hungarian.
So. Yeah. Okunčete prosím, dvešete zavěrání. What kind of languages?
Yeah. Czech. Yeah.
Okay. So are you interested in the structure of languages? That's why you've studied so many languages?
Well, I like learning languages to meet lots of people. I think it's a great thing to go to countries, to find out about other lifestyles, other cultures.
Is it okay if I say that you're more interested in cultures and people than the structure of the language?
Yes, than in prepositions and suffixes and things like this. I think getting to know people and how people lead their lives is a lot more interesting than that.
I think that leads us to a project mm-hmm. you've been working mm-hmm. on for a couple of years mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. and we're going to see it here. It's going to be a course book, Zoom In, that's the title, and Britain Through Hungarian Eyes or something. Would you like to talk about the glasses, you can see glasses, red, white and green.
Yeah.
So what's the story?
Yeah, well, we think it's good to have a book that's written by Hungarians that looks at Britain through the eyes of Hungarians. So you experience a culture in the way that when you go somewhere, you find out things, you compare it with your own society instead of a book that's just written by British people.
Yeah, and what kind of a book is it? Course book?
Well, it's a course book. It can be used as a course. It's a journey through Britain, through the southwest, where people visit schools and they stay in host families.
Would you recommend it to beginners?
No. I mean, this is a book for intermediates to upper intermediates. Yeah. So people like you.
Good. And now we're going to have a map from the book, and I would like you to talk about the story, the birth of the idea. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, I came over to Hungary 5 years ago and worked on a summer school at Balaton Almadi, and then I worked with teachers for 2 years and decided it would be a good idea to go to Britain to have a journey. We went to the southwest, a very beautiful part, lots of nice beaches there, and we visited Bristol, where we went to a school where there were lots of Asian students, lots of black students, and then the students also got to know other parts of Britain that they met. People talked about the Midlands, they talked about the South East.
Thank you very much. And the group took photographs, lots of photographs. photographs of things they found surprising, confusing, or frustrating. And here you can see this page with lots of photos, and I've chosen three photos. Could I have the first photo? And I would like you to guess why it was frustrating or surprising. First of all, what is it? Kota.
I guess it might be a teapot or something. I don't know really.
And why do you think it is in the book?
Because they didn't know it either.
What, they didn't know what it was?
Yeah.
Right. Victoria?
It could be because of the electricity. Because they usually call your attention that you shouldn't really use your electric gadgets because they don't have the same electricity as we do.
Okay, thank you very much. Could I have the second picture, please? Benza, what can you see in the picture? Can you make it out?
Yes, but... not really.
Where do you think this object is?
In the bathroom.
You got it. And the name for it is basin, wash basin, or
wash
basin. And what would you call these two things? Let me help you. Taps. Why do you think it is in the book? Again, okay, Kota.
Because the two taps are on the two different sides of this something.
So what?
In Hungary, they are closer to each other.
Yes, Victoria?
You can't really mix the water, so it comes separated, and you either have really hot water or really cold, and I think it's very strange.
Right, okay, and could I have the last picture, please? Victor, would you like to talk about it?
Poop scoop area. I don't know, in Hungary, we don't have areas where, I don't know, dogs, you walk the dog and you pick up the mess.
Mess. Excellent word. Good. And now the students there, or the teachers rather, kept a diary. And now here are three diary extracts to match with those three photographs. So here's one for you. Here's one for you. And this is one for you. And would you look at the three photographs, and if you think you have the matching extract, would you put up your hand if you know what it is? Victoria, I think you are okay.
Yeah.
So which one do you think is yours?
It's the basin.
Wash basin. Would you read out what it is?
I had difficulties getting used to using the separate hot and cold taps. Once I even burned my hand. Another time the water was freezing cold. I found the whole thing very frustrating.
And there's a name?
Yeah, it's Uwe.
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 Good. Thank you very much. Mochi?
Yeah. I couldn't work. It's in the left side there. Mine. I couldn't work out why the water didn't boil in the electric kettle because I didn't realize that you had to switch on the plug to make it work. That's really odd for a Hungarian.
Thank you very much. Your pronunciation is very beautiful. And now the last one, Bencev, would you read it out?
The third one. Left. It was unusual for me to see signs which designate places where you have to clean up after your dog. You can even be fined a lot of money if you leave the mess on the ground.
Thank you very much. Is it a very characteristic task activity in the book?
Yes, we have lots of tasks where students have to look at the things in the other culture. So they look at Britain and they find things that are odd or frustrating, and then they compare them with Hungary, with their own society.
Yes, so comparing, contrasting.
Yes.
Mark, you've been living in Hungary for more than 4 years. Did you find anything surprising here or frustrating?
Yeah, I guess it's a bit frustrating on zebra crossings because in Britain, usually when you wait at a zebra crossing, a car will stop. And I've had many experiences where I'm halfway across a zebra crossing and the cars don't stop. And it's been a bit frustrating. At times, I've even banged the car. I've been annoyed. I've had people shouting at me, you know, and it's been a bit difficult. But that's one thing that I have, I must admit, found a little frustrating.
Yeah, zebra crossing.
Yes.
But you made it.
I'm here. I'm still here.
Okay. Now, it's going to be about unit, because in the book there are units. Now it's going to be unit 7 about exams, and the first exam is going to be this. Anybody can spell this word, Victor, please?
G-C-S-E.
G-C-S-E.
G-C-S-E. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Got any idea what it might mean? This is an abbreviation. What do you think it stands for? No idea. I'm very happy. So it stands for, and it's going to be here pretty soon. Kotov, would you read it out, please?
General Certificate of Secondary Education.
General Certificate of Secondary Education. Mark, I think we need some information. What age group, how many subjects, and one more thing, what are the compulsory subjects that British students have to take? Compulsory. Compulsory is something that you must do, something that must be done, compulsory, not optional. Okay, over to you, Mark.
Right. The General Certificate of Secondary Education students take at the age of 16. And after that, they can leave school if they want to. My mother phoned up my headmaster, or the headmaster that's in my school now, to find out which subjects were compulsory now at Wolverhampton Grammar School. And he told her that it was English language, English literature, maths, chemistry, biology and physics, history and history or geography, and one modern language. So at my old school, it's either French or German or Italian. When I went to school, there were only two compulsory subjects, and they were English and religion. By law, were the only subjects that you had to do. But some schools can decide which subjects they make compulsory and which they don't. Yeah?
Thank you very much. Now we are traveling back to this Wolverhampton Girls High School, and you are going to meet the headmistress. And this is a very, very good school. Group one, Machi, you belong to group one.
I know.
What is she saying about GCSE, about the exam Mark has just described? Group two, what is she saying about advanced GCE, advanced level, at the age of 18, which is pretty close to our system. So advanced level, advanced GCE. Okay, that's going to be your group. Okay, would you roll the tape, please?
Our exam results are very good. We achieve a very high standard, and we are among the top schools nationally. For example, this year at GCSE, more than half the girls achieve grade A's in five or more of their subjects. Our pass rates both at GCSE and A level are very high, in the high 90s every year.
Good, thank you very much. And you're gonna see the table to help you explain what's going on. So about the GCSE, Kota.
I don't know. I heard that the woman said that more than half of the girls have very good results in this GCSE, but I don't know what this whole thing
they
means.
They get grade A.
Yeah.
Now you can see grade from grade A to C, which is very, very good. Which is the fail grade?
Yeah. E.
E, yeah. Is fail. So A to C is really, really good. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very good school. And how about the advanced? Victoria, could you catch that?
Yes, the advanced, and the pass rates are very high. And you can see that they are improving.
Yeah, it's like Fazakosh, in a way. And would you agree if I say that this is a posh school?
Yes, I mean, some people would call it a posh school. Yeah.
Posh means that upper class, very rich people, like posh hotel, posh restaurant, posh schools, where rich people, upper class people go. Can you say anything about the origin of this word? It sounds strange.
P-O-S-H. It's from the times of the British Empire, when people went on boats to India, and it's port outward, starboard home. Port means left. Starboard means right, yeah? So when you went on a boat, the left-hand side was the best side for the weather. And then coming back from India, the right-hand side, the starboard side, was the best. And that's the origin of that word.
Mark, yeah? Would you repeat it?
Port, outward, starboard, home.
Posh. It's a nice word, isn't it? Good. All right. What we're going to do now... right... Yes. Now we're going to see the other side of the coin. This was a very good school, but now you're going to see something else. Group one, How long does it take? How long does the GCSE take? How long does it take? And you two, are the girls happy? Because we're going to meet two girls. But before that, because the girls speak very fast and their English is not very understandable. So Mark, would you be so kind as to read out the first?
Sure. I don't think I did very well in science. I opened the pages, oh, I don't know that. And I thought, what do they expect from me to write? So I just wrote down anything.
That's one girl. How about the other?
Thing was, with the science exam, we got really used to doing multiple choice questions. And then the final exam paper came, and it was just questions with no choice of answer.
Right. And now you're going to watch and you're going to listen to it. Don't forget, GCSE, how long does it take, and about the girls. Would you roll the tape, please?
6 weeks after they began, the GCSEs are finally over.
I don't even really go well in science. I sort of open pages like, ooh, I don't know that. And I just thought, what do they expect me to write? So I just wrote down anything.
The thing was with the science exam is we got really used to doing multiple choice questions. Mm. And then the final exam paper came and it was just questions with no choice of answers.
Right. Cotta.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. So you have to wait for the results.
Long time.
Long. Yeah. It's a very long time, isn't it? Mm. It's like the language examination in Hungary. And what about the girls, Victor?
They are don't really happy because they are a bit disappointed because they prepared for something else.
Yes, excellent. And you can see this tie burning, which is not a very good sign. I mean, it means that you're not very happy, or you just get rid of something you really, really hated. And the title of this unit in your book, in Zoom In, is Death of the Tie. Some explanation, please.
Well, we saw this program when we were in England, and the person, when they finished their GCSEs, they decided to set a match to light the tie. And get rid of it. So we thought it would be quite nice to call the unit the death of the tie. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah, okay. Now, you've been talking, but now it's going to be our task. Because in Hungary we have special sort of traditions. And you've been living in Hungary for quite some time, so I wonder if you can come up with the Hungarian words. Would you be so kind, Group 1, as to describe what it is. Maki, it's your turn, and this is yours. Kata, what is
it? Well, actually in Hungary there are four grades, and when the senior class leaves the school, the younger grades decorate the whole school, and then the fourth graders, they march through the school and the corridors, and they receive bunches of flowers and presents.
Excellent. What's the word for it?
The balogash.
Thank you very much.
Maki?
You have to do this exam at the end of the secondary education. The facts are mathematics, literature and grammar, one foreign language, and a subject what you choose. And you have a written and an oral exam. And at the oral...
He's happy. You know the answer? Sorry for interrupting you.
Erecegi.
Yeah.
Cool. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And Victoria, please.
If you happen to have some teachers you really liked in the course of the 4 years, you just visit them and, like, the whole class stands in front of the flat or the place of the teacher and they sing a song, and if they are lucky, they are invited in.
You know the word?
Oh, I did, you know.
One, two, three.
Serenade.
Okay. Mark, thank you very much for coming again. And I think I'm going to invite you for another show with another topic. Thanks again. And see you next week. It's going to be again English for You, something interesting. Bye-bye.
útjáról. Egy magazin, mely szomszédról történeteket mesél, sorsokat mutat be.
Egy magazin, amely határok nélkül barangol a Kárpát-medencében.
Egy magazin, mely kíváncsi a magyar mellett a román, a szerb, az ukrán, a szlovák, a horvát, a szlovén és az osztrák kulturális életre is.
Szivakodás helyett szomszédoljunk, járjunk át egymáshoz.
Nézzék az átjárót a hét 4 napján az M1 és az M2 műsorán.